Well, good morning. Happy 4th of July tomorrow. It is, I may be a little bit loud. Sound loud out there? It sounds loud here. Yeah, maybe just down a little bit. Thanks. I don't know about in your neighborhood, but we've been celebrating in my neighborhood a lot. So there are lots of, my dogs are pretty nervous. I discovered these. Well, I didn't discover them. I'd heard about them, and then I bought two. They're called Thunder shirts, and you put them on your dogs, and it helps comfort them. And so that seems to be helping some. So, yes, we are celebrating 4th of July. Our independence, our freedom. We are a nation that really values freedom, aren't we? We love our freedoms, and we have a lot of freedoms. We are free to worship any place we want. Or not worship, if we choose. We can go to temples, we can go to mosques, we can go to churches, centers, or the woods. You know, we are free. That was what started this whole thing. You know, the oppression in England, the pilgrims wanted to leave and have a choice about where they worshipped, what they worshipped. So that was what started it. We are free to worship any way we want to. We are free to go anywhere in this country. We can cross state borders. There are no guards, no checkpoints. We don't have to be checked, inspected, or anything. We travel around. We can go where we want, do what we want. There may be consequences, but we can do pretty much whatever we want. If we were to decide that we wanted to drive from St. Louis to Kansas City in 2 hours, we can do that. The consequences may be a traffic ticket, you know, but... We can do any of those things. We have lots and lots of freedom. But I think sometimes, still, with all that freedom, sometimes we're still bound. There are still areas where we are restricted. The title of the talk today was, Are You Free? If I were to ask you that question today, you'd probably say, yes, I am free, you know, and for all the reasons that just listed out. If I said it any other time, you probably would think it would have something to do with wanting to get together maybe for coffee, or are you free? Do you have time to get together with me, to talk on the phone? Are you free? And who has enough time? I know. It seems like there isn't enough time. There are always all these things to do, and this much time. What happens when there isn't enough time? Well, we are constrained. We are restricted some because we can't do maybe everything we'd like to do. Sometimes those constraints bleed into other areas too. If we feel like we don't have enough time, we've already talked about love. Who has enough love in their life? I mean, you can raise your hand if you want to. Okay. I have plenty of love in my life. I have my little four-legged companions. I've got you guys. I've got my family. I've got my friends. I have a lot of love, and I'm very grateful for that. If you don't have enough love, then you might feel restricted. You might feel just not like there's not enough. You might feel like you don't have enough health. And I can tell you that I don't have all the capabilities health-wise, physically, that I used to. And sometimes I can get a little irritable about it, you know. Well, I used to be able to do this. If we don't have our health, often we find ourselves restricted, bound somehow, to be able to do the things that we want to do. If we don't have enough wisdom... Sometimes we would like to have more knowledge, we'd like to have more wisdom. And often, one thing that comes up for many of us in our lives is money. And if we don't have enough money, then we feel like we can't do what we want to either. So there are a number of things that can impact us, can make us feel like we're restricted if we don't have them. What does all that say? That says lack. When we don't have enough of according to what we want or need. That's lack. And we know as unity that when we're focusing on what we don't have, we draw more of that to us. So what's the opposite of lack? Abundance. Yeah, prosperity. Who doesn't want abundance and prosperity in our lives? I think we all do. Priscilla says she does. Me too. I want all of that. I want love and I want time and I want health and I want prosperity. I want wisdom. If nothing else, I would like to have enough knowledge to be able to look sort of sane when I play Trivial Pursuit. You know, I am not very good at Trivial Pursuit. I would like to at least have enough knowledge to do that. So, abundance. Before I left for conference, Kathy and I had some talks about church and the finances and stuff. And what I recognized getting ready to go to the conference was that I'm not seeing the prosperity in my own life that I want to. I have a house for sale, the house in Fenton, and it isn't selling. So for right now, I've got two house payments, and it's not horrible, but it's a little restrictive. In our church here, we're getting by. We are getting by. We are meeting our bills, just. But we want abundance. You know, I want abundance in my life. I want enough that I can pay for what I need to pay and a little more to have fun, to share, you know, to do something. Our church, I want us to experience abundance so that we have enough to pay all of our bills with ease and then have a little extra for the things that we'd like to do, like replacing our carpet. There are always things that we would like to do. So I was going into conference with those two things. We know that if there is an area in our lives that isn't working the way we want it to, where do we go first? Third basic principle, we go to our thinking. What are we thinking about? And I noticed for me that I was focusing a lot on, oh, I have to pay these two house payments. Oh, you know. And so when I'm focused there, it's not the kind of thinking that is going to encourage prosperity. And I want us to be aware of, that's why we're doing all this. We're going to be talking about prosperity this whole month. And I want us to begin to think about our thinking. You know, if we talk about our little church, you know, what do we draw? We draw more our little church. You know? So just to be aware of our thinking. I got to see two very powerful prosperity ministers, two women who are known for their prosperity teachings. And I had selected this book to look at through the month of July. This is Edwene Gaines. I told you last week that she's one of the speakers that was there. She did a workshop, and she's dynamic and inspiring and funny and all of that. She is in here, too. This book is The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, A Simple Guide to Unlimited Abundance. And I got to see Mary Morrissey, and we will be doing her prosperity program in the fall. So I got inundated. I just got lots of exposure to prosperity ideas, and it reinforced that notion my thinking isn't where I need it and want it to be. This book was written in 2005. She does a great job, I think, of describing prosperity, all of the laws. First, before I go into the laws, I want to tell you what her definition of prosperity is. Too often, I think, or very often anyway, when we think prosperity, we tend to think of it in terms of money. You know? But it's more. It's way more than that. Here's her definition. So what is true prosperity? My definition is a vitally alive physical body to provide a comfortable worldly home for the spiritual beings that we are. Yes. Second, it is relationships that are satisfying, nurturing, honest, and work all the time. Yes, love. Third, work that we love so much that it's not work, it's play. Yes, soul satisfaction. And fourth, and all the money we can spend. I think I told you last week, she started out her presentation saying that she was a powerful woman. She says, I am a woman of power. And she starts a book off that way too. She goes through her whole story, if you will, of how she started out. She had a young daughter. She worked two jobs. Really didn't have enough to make ends meet. She was paying this creditor a little bit this week and that creditor a little bit that week, but she never was able to just pay all of her creditors at one time. She couldn't work any more than two jobs because she had a young child. She had to be there at times for that. She gives a very funny account of her tithing is one of the laws. And when she read that, she opened the Bible and found a passage that had to do with tithing, and she went, oh no, that's not for me, and closed it back up again. And then she went to see a minister friend of hers, and he asked her, are you tithing? And she said, well, no. And he's basically, in a very nice way, say, well, I have other people who are willing to do the work, and so, you know, I will talk to you later, and escorted her back out of her office. And so she, you know, if you got to do, you got to do the work. So she has some very funny accounts of how she just railed against this whole idea of these laws. This whole book came about because of her experience with practicing, and then she came up with these laws. This is what she came up with out of her experience of being just not even making ends meet to being a woman of power, having significant substance. She has a beautiful home, travels first class. She has a beautiful retreat center. She buys clothes she wants. She even says in here that she has someone to buy her toilet paper for her. She's not that she ever minded buying her own toilet paper, but it's nice to have someone to do it. So she is a woman of significant means. And she says that it is her mission in life to teach every person on the planet how to invoke this prosperity, teach them how to be prosperous. So those of us who have seen her, gone to her, you know, so we're trying to spread her word a little bit. So let me tell you the four laws. Number one, don't leave. You must tithe 10% of all that you receive in the person, place, or excuse me, receive to the person, place, or institution where you have received your spiritual food. First law. Second law, you must set clear-cut, tangible goals. Third, you must forgive everyone all the time, especially yourself. And four, you must seek, discover, and follow your divine purpose. Powerful laws. We'll explore each one of those. Today, I do want to talk about the tithing one. Sometimes in our society, in our vocabulary, there are words that invoke fear or disdain or, you know, something that is just not positive. And so we refer to those words by the first letter of the word. Like, if we say the C word, most people know that we're referring to cancer. Usually these are words that invoke negative experiences. Well, in the spiritual circles, there's a T word, and it's tithing. who feels like they have been kind of beat around the head and shoulders by the whole notion of tithing? Anybody here? Some churches just cram it down your throats, and we don't do that in Unity, but I think people have maybe a misimpression of what tithing is and what it is not. Please hear me say that I am not up here asking you for more money. I am not. What I am going to try to do is to just very briefly say what I believe tithing is, what it can do for us, and leave it up to you. And I would challenge you to try it if you don't already do it. I have tithed most of my adult life, and I am one that will say, yes, it does work. It does work. Even in times when it seems like everybody else is having financial difficulties, it works. It just does. Tithing is, well, she describes it as, when she opened the Bible, it was to Malachi who talked about tithing, and it was 10%. So she's pretty adamant that it is 10%. Others, like Jim Rosemargy, another today pretty well-known Unity minister, has a book called Even Mystics Have Bills to Pay, which is a good book on prosperity. And he says that you don't have, you know, if 10% is hard to get your mind around or your pocketbook around, that start somewhere. You know, start at 5%, or even if you have to, 1%. The notion is to begin to get your mind or make a commitment to setting aside a tithe. So the amount, what Edwin Gaines says that it should be 10%, but it can be whatever you want. Rosemargy says when you start at, say, if you start at 1, you build up to the point, and then he says, don't stop at 10. You know, it's there's nothing about 10. He says, make it 11% or 12% or something that's just a little bit over. What is tithe? Often I think we have a tendency to think that, okay, we're going to give out 10% of what we make, what we bring in. And there is a tendency to think that what is coming in is coming from a finite source, right? So if we work, we're expecting that our income is from our jobs. If here in church, we depend on tithes, love offerings from you all, but our source is not you all, it is God. My source is God. God works through others, God works through you, God works through me. And so the whole idea of tithe, I think the first and most important thing is a recognition that God is our source for everything. And so the law then of tithing is that we give back to God, those places where we're spiritually fed, we give back to God a tithe. And we know prosperity laws are that what you give out comes back. What you give out comes back. If I'm giving out, I don't have enough money. So what happens? I don't have money. It keeps coming back. Tithing is a way of saying, I have all this. I'm giving some back to the universe, to God. And it's a different mindset. So a tithe is a way of celebrating all that is in our lives, all the good. Edwin Gaines says that we don't need to tithe on lunches or gifts that people give us. It's monetary. So she used to take a notebook and she would write down every time that she got money. If she got some unexpected gift from someone or a birthday card with a $10 bill in it, she would write it all down. She kept track of every penny that came to her and she tithed on it. Not a bad idea. You know, maybe for a week or two, write down all of the places where you're getting money, where you're getting income. And then we celebrate by recognizing that God is working in all these ways in the universe to bring our good to us. And then we can tithe back. I think she used 6 months. She decided that she would, because in that scripture it says, prove me. You know, God is through the writing is saying, prove me. So she did. She had a talk with, she called him the big man. She said she had a talk with the big man and said, okay, I'm in these dire straits. I'm going to try this for 6 months. And you better open wide those purse strings. So And she said that she, within, I think, a couple months, 2 or 3 months, she doubled her income. Within 6 months, she had tripled her income. It just kept coming. What happens when you tithe is that there is this expectation of good that is happening. And we stop focusing just on this one source. It isn't like a packet of money that magically appears in your mailbox. It isn't necessarily that, but you might get some surprise mail. You might get a dividend or a refund that you weren't expecting. You might get, who knows what it is? I've seen some beautiful examples of things that just appear. It could be one of the things that she did was she recognized her skills and her talents, and she ended up quitting a job. She called it. It was. It had a fancy title and not much money that came. And she quit that to start a new company. She started two new companies, I think, in that first year, first 6 months. And they began to prosper. So she was sort of giving out her wisdom. She was a contracted, like a coach or counselor kind of person. And she did well. We might be recipients then of ideas that flow into us and through us. It's who knows how it's going to happen. It's pretty interesting, amazing, and wonderful to watch in your own life and here. What I ask of you is to consider for yourself to consider tithing for some, if you don't already. I don't know how much you make. I don't know if what you give, I don't see what you give. It's not for me. I don't care, and I say I don't care in the sense that it's strictly your choice. It's strictly your business. But for you, I suggest you give it a try. I suggest that you see what tithing can do for you if you aren't already doing it. I would ask you to hold in mind for this ministry the idea that this ministry, Unity Church of Light, is a thriving, prosperous, joyous, energetic group of people, place to be. As we all hold that, then it happens. What we put out comes back. I would like to finish this with a prayer that she writes. This is at the end of the introduction. And we'll use this then to move into our meditation time. I would invite you to go ahead and get comfortable. And I would invite you to let these words be your words. Father, Mother, God, I invite the Holy Spirit to take charge of my journey to prosperity. I let go of all that has gone before, and I now begin anew. I am free and forgiven for all the mistakes I've made in the past. I open myself now to expressing a brand new magnificence. I open myself to the infinite possibilities that are mine to choose. I open myself to receiving all the goodness I can have and to all the greatness I can achieve. I invite the Holy Spirit to heal my body, to harmonize my emotions, to renew my mind, to fill me now with a mighty faith that empowers me and allows me to commit to be all that I came here to be. Amen. So we breathe in deeply and release. And again, in and letting go. As we place our attention on our breath, we continue to breathe deeply and slowly. And we can let that breath, the movement in and out, be a symbol. A symbol of breathing in new ideas about all that we can be. Breathing out, representing anything and everything that might be binding us, that might be holding us back from being as free as we want to be. We are fully aware of the blessings of living in this country. We are grateful for the many blessings we enjoy in our lives. And we gently and gratefully open ourselves, our minds and our hearts, to the ideas of expanding, of growing. As we change our thoughts away from the lack, the limitations, to possibility, to abundance, to prosperity, we find ourselves focusing on how wonderful it will feel to have strong bodies, healthy bodies. How wonderful it will be when we can go to the store and pick out something we like without having to worry about the price tag. We check it, but simply to make sure it's a good deal. Because we have abundant funds. We are children of the magnificent Creator. We are spiritual beings. We have been created in the image and likeness of God. It is our DNA. It is our inheritance that we are love, that we are peace, that we are health, that we are wisdom, that we are abundance in expression. And so here and now, today, as we sit quietly, as we do each week, we allow our minds to take this fresh approach to living with the notion of abundance, with the notion of having, receiving, being willing to receive all good. We release any ideas of unworthiness, any ideas of being undeserving, any ideas of, oh, I have enough. We are to step into our true Christ selves. We are to be free. We are to be love. Abundance, wisdom, joy. So now, as we do each week, let us take some time in silence to just sit with this notion of allowing ourselves to be and express the magnificence that we are in the silence. And as we feel and experience and recognize God as our source, God as our provider, we can relax and trust. And when we lose the fear, we are able to step into that place of giving and receiving, that place of abundance, that place of prosperity. And we are grateful. Grateful for our understanding, grateful for our opportunities, and grateful for our open minds and our open hearts. So with this awareness of our freedom, awareness of our gratitude, let us come together and join in saying the prayer that our master teacher taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.